You talked about the area of multipolarity. Explain that term and what's that mean for agriculture?
It just means that there's not going to be one or even two dominant global powers in the world. So it's not going to be as it has the last 30 years with the United States. It also means I don't think it's going to be a Cold War between the United States and China. It's going to be a tapestry of rising and falling great powers. And that's already affecting technology supply chains. It's already affecting energy supply chains. And the point I was trying to drive home here, if you're thinking about the future of American agriculture, is it is going to affect American agricultural exports. It is already affecting food. In fact, the way that the global agricultural system functions right now and has for 100 years is based on the old geopolitical paradigm, and I think that's going to change.
So what does that mean if we move that focus away from exports in the ag sector?
Well, I think it means two different things. I emphasized in the talk here that the U.S. domestic market and about how we need to get used to paying more for food in this country and maybe prioritizing domestic production and domestic consumption first. That's what most other countries are doing. I think it also means, though, more focused trade policy and free trade agreements with countries that we know are going to be friendly or who know are going to need our goods and who are not going to oppose interests. So China is probably not a long-term partner from us on a trade or economic basis. Our interests are just not in common. Countries like Mexico, which is already angry at us for a lot of different reasons, or countries like Japan, these are, and maybe India, depending on how things develop there, but India is kind of a wild card. We need to solidify relationships with those countries that we know are not hostile to American interests, but still want to import American goods, and also, I think, put more focus on the U.S. domestic market.
Those countries you name are obviously the big players that we're dealing with today. What parts of the world should we be focused on?
I mean, Indonesia is another one that I think doesn't come up enough, one of the largest and fastest growing populations in the world. I said India, I mean, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all of that is important. The Middle East is important. There's probably no place in the world that's more food secure than Central Asia going forward. I'm not sure about South America. I think Brazil might muscle us out of a lot of those areas. And then if you're really brave, I mean, Sub-Saharan Africa is going to have food issues. But that's where I would be looking right now. Southeast Asia, the Western Hemisphere, parts of South Asia.
Are there other things we should be doing rather than just focusing on exports then for our products, whether it's biofuels or sustainable type of production?
I'm of really mixed opinion on biofuels, and I'm not a policy guy, so I won't get into what should be and what shouldn't be. But it just doesn't make sense to me. If we haven't fixed global hunger, why we're taking calories and putting them into fuel, especially when we're awash in natural gas, we could be building nuclear reactors, there's solar and wind, all this money coming in for a renewable transition. So I think biofuels is going to be a bridge to that renewable future, because I think that renewable future is probably years, if not decades away. So in that sense, like, I think biofuels will be around whether I like them or not. But just from a sort of rational, if you're thinking about what the world is going to look like in 10 years and what you're going to grow crops for, the idea of growing crops for energy when you have plenty of other energy sources, there's cognitive dissonance there that I can't work out.
When you look at the politics, you showed a slide, just the big division on the legitimacy of the current U.S. president, on trying to get a Speaker of the House put in place. How do we get things done in a D.C. type of environment?
Right now, we don't. Things have not, and the other thing I said was that, you know, we've had previous moments like this in American history. They ushered in sort of Reagan's revolution, Roosevelt's revolution, where you get a large party that has majority support that is able to actually respond to some of the challenges. But that usually comes when the economy is bad. That's usually when people are willing to put aside their ideologies and say, okay, we really need to work together, because if we don't, things are going to get really bad. Economy's great. We grew 4.9% in Q3. Unemployment is low. We're worried about inflation because the economy's running too hot, and yet we're having all these political problems. So I think the answer is, at some point, the economy is not going to be doing well. We'll probably go into a recession, maybe a deep recession. And at that point, I would expect maybe the silent middle to wake up and say, okay, like, there are some problems here. They need solutions, and we can no longer sit on the sidelines. But that may be a naive hope.
When we look at the headlines, it looks like all doom and gloom. You have some optimism here, at least in this immediate future.
I am. I'm incredibly optimistic about the next 5 to 10 years. I think now is the time to take action and make changes and pursue opportunities. I say often, I'm worried about the world my daughter will inherit. I am not worried about the world the next 5 to 10 years. There's no country that can challenge the United States right now, and there's not going to be any great power war. I think you're going to have these smaller conflicts like Israel-Palestine, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Sudan, and Ethiopia, I tried to shine a light on in my presentation today. But those are all small, confined conflicts. At the global level, I think we're sort of in a period like the 1890s, where we're going through an energy transition. There's incredible advances in new technology that applies to ag too, and new ways of growing things and everything else. So for that reason, and from, you know, I'm also an investor by trade, right? I'm buying right now. I'm not selling. I'm not bearish. I think there will be a time for bearishness later. But anybody who's bearish now, I think is just sealing their future.